Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
Welcome, Teresa Greenhow. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thanks, everyone, for coming out tonight. I wish I was introduced as someone who still sits at the feet of the Master. Amen? Let's just close our eyes. We want the Master's touch tonight more than anything else. Jesus, touch us. Touch everyone. Touch those little children in the nursery, the youth, the young adults, wherever they are, Lord. Those who couldn't make it, wanted to make it, and couldn't make it. We're just asking that heaven will show up for each and every vessel. Holy Spirit, we want you to come. Be in our midst. Lift us up to that place that you want us to be found in. Take away things from our lives that will not give you glory, that will not edify the body of Christ. Strip us today of everything of self. We don't want self to come in the way. We want Jesus to be lifted up higher. No matter what anyone is going through, Lord, be lifted up. We desire to seek you above all else, to be found in you, to touch heaven. Today, enable us to touch heaven. In Jesus' name. Tonight's message is titled, Wait. Wait. Isaiah 40 and verse 31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They'll walk and never faint. Just wait. He's an on-time God. He's faithful. If I asked you personally, each of you would have a test that you're going through right now. But without a test, there's no testimony. My book is full of testimonies. But it's because of testing that you'll come out victorious. Learn to wait. Learn to trust. Learn to yield. Stay in the school of the Holy Spirit. We're never qualified from there. We continue because we do not fight flesh and blood. We are fighting a whole hierarchy of an evil kingdom. But Satan's days are numbered. All that's left of him is his funeral rites. Jesus paid the price on the cross and he said, "It is finished." If we children of God can only take the word of God, just soak into it, learn from the only bird he talked about. He said, be like that eagle Christian. Be an eagle. Don't belong to the pecking order. Don't be a turkey, much as we love it. When there's a storm, the eagle rises up. And you're all going through storms of some sort or the other. Sometimes it's so difficult that you cannot even put it into words. You cannot even express it. Forget calling someone on the phone or texting them. Because you know that they don't have the answer to what you're going through. Sometimes even your spouse doesn't know what you're going through. Or your best friend. Because there are no words. But they that learn to wait, they that learn to abide, they that learn to trust, you'll come out victorious. Victory is in sight. When I was an athlete training for the Olympics, my coach would tell me, Teresa, don't turn to the right or to the left. Stay focused. Turn to someone and say, stay focused. Focus. What is focus? Focus is just knowing. Like that eagle, it doesn't see something moving somewhere and go for it. No, it waits. It doesn't make its home in the trees. It makes its home in the cleft of the rocks, way up there. And it mates for life, waits through thick and thin, through sickness and in health, in good times and bad times, till death do us part. Wait. God's speaking to someone tonight. Your marriage may be on the rocks. I just want to be moving in the spirit tonight. I don't want Teresa to come in the way. Because this message could even be for me. And I want it to be for me. God, speak to me too. Wait. Take it to the Lord in prayer and leave it there. Just wait. The eagle mates for life. The female eagle is bigger and heavier than the male. Not a sumo wrestler. But because just like that female eagle, we have to wait, women. We have someone over us, the head of our families. And many times it says we are the neck that turns the head. Let's hope we are the ones like the Proverbs 31 woman. And if you're a single mom, wait. You're not alone. If two or more are gathered in my name, you and the Holy Spirit and Jesus who lives forever to intercede for you right now, he's carrying those burdens. He says, just come just as you are. There's no one else who can give you a better deal than I can. I'm interceding for you. He believes in you. Just wait. He is able and more than able. Both the male and the female eagle take care of putting the nest together. Maybe rabbit's fur, animal skin, soft padding. Both of them sit on the eggs, take it in turns. Both go looking for goodies when those babies are born. But the eagle doesn't eat stale meat. Yesterday's manna is no good for today. Every day, let us come to Jesus just as we are and have a disciple's ear so that we will have a disciple's tongue. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 14, the disciples, Jesus said, he chose them so that they would be with him, that they would remain, that they would abide, so that he could send them out with power, with authority. In Acts 4 and 13, when Peter and John are nabbed by the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, and who's who of the Jewish regime, they said, how did these unlettered, unschooled men do what they've done? They've healed a man born crippled. Oh, these men have been with Jesus. Stay with Jesus. The disciples who were dejected and disappointed were running away 7 miles from Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus. He met with them and they said, did not our hearts burn within us? When he unraveled the scriptures to us, just take the word of words, take the book of all books, take God's love letter. When you're going through hell on earth, just open it and just read. Even if it's one verse, it will speak. Isaiah 55 verses 10 and 11 says, God's word does not go back to him empty. It accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent. Just meditate on that word, whatever it is. For 18 years, ever since I was born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. Before that, of course, I had no problem because I lived for the devil. He had me in chains. But Jesus broke the chains. But for 18 years after that, I suffered physically with food allergies of all sorts. I could hardly eat anything, just bland soup and dry toast. 18 full years. There's a time for everything. In the meantime, he gave me such a peace. I used to love food, but now food was not a priority. He was teaching me, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out from the mouth of God. So I took Isaiah 53 and I said, Jesus, I thank you that by your stripes I am healed. I didn't see my healing in the natural for 18 years. I was rushed 3 times into the ER. In fact, my superior, when I was a nun and a principal of a high school, I had taken a 25 mg Septron tablet for a sore throat that was going on for some time and a cough or cold. And I bloated. Little did I realize I was allergic to sulfur and penicillin. I bloated almost 3 times my size. My respiratory system was choking from inside. They rushed me to the ER, and the doctors who were there, they turned to the superior, and she was older than me, and they turned to her and said, did you bring her coffin? For 1 week, they fought for my life. But during that 1 week, I could not speak, but I could hear. They didn't know I could hear. They had to tie my hands and legs to the bed in the hospital because I was itching all over like a red herring. And then these Hindu doctors would come in and say, there's something about this nun. She's suffering, but there's such a peace. When we come into her room, we feel good. Without suffering, there's no anointing. That anointing will teach you. Unless you go through a test, you don't have a testimony. God is supernaturally doing something beautiful with you when you let go and let God. Something beautiful, like sweet aroma to his nostrils. He's perfecting us in his image and likeness. I've not yet reached there, but I'm still running the race. As my coach said, don't turn to the right, to the left. He was a Sikh gentleman, but I began to read it in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua, meditate on the book of the law. Don't depart from it. And you will prosper and you'll be successful. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and on. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Jesus must be number one in our lives. The Holy Spirit must be our first priority. He must be number one, no matter what, even if it means like, what am I going to wear today? What am I going to eat today? Whom am I going to hang out with? We need to check it out with him. If we can have that kind of intimacy with God, there is no knowing what we are going to do on this side of eternity. Let the storms come. We'll be able to ride those currents because our eyes are not on the storm. The eagle puts out those 6 to 8 feet long wings on either side. And in the midst of the thunder and lightning and storm, it rises above the storm, above those currents, goes back to the north. Come to Jesus, just as you are. No matter what the fiery darts of the enemy have been, you come. Come believing. You and I cannot pray when we are going through hell on earth, but he lives forever to intercede for us. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, the Holy Spirit prays inside of us with groans too deep for words. Sometimes I tell the Lord, Lord, even before we even think of needing anything, you're already blessing us. I am a friend of God. I want to introduce you to that kind of a friend tonight. He's real. He lives, he moves, he has his being in our being. He's not just in the book, he's a divine person. The Holy Spirit is real. I literally got to talk to him and tell him, I know you're here. I can feel that movement on my scalp and my hair. I know you're here. You just take over. Do what you want. Of the last few days, I'll have preached in this 22 days, I'll have preached 21 times up to Sunday. And my prayer has become, Lord, as it is in heaven, may it be done on this earth. In my life and the lives of the folks you're taking me to, we're not asking for anything else. Whatever you've envisioned for anyone in the heavenlies, let that be imprinted on the walls of our hearts. Let your will be done. That's the best place to be. In the center of God's will. People ask me, like, Sister Teresa, don't you fear going into India each time back again? There's such persecution. You don't hear most of it's what's going on. Humanly speaking, I even fear for my husband leaving on Friday, going back to India. He's right now preaching in Savannah, Georgia. He comes in tomorrow into Burlington, and he leaves on Friday. I leave on Tuesday. Humanly speaking, we are human beings. We are nervous, but your stomach is in knots. Even as I talk about it, if I'm not in the spirit, I'll freak out. But God is in control. God is able. Nothing is impossible with God. We sang that tonight. Nothing. So take your situation and leave it in the hands of the Lord. He says, come to me, you who are weak and overburdened. Because if you meditate on your situation, you'll make an idol out of it and yourself. Don't give it any undue attention. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Abide in him. Be the branches in the vine. Be the tree planted by the waterside. Be the salt of the earth. Be the light on a hilltop. Be a wrestler, be a runner in the race, be an eagle. Be an eagle Christian. Stay faithful, meditate, seek him. Don't belong to the pecking order. Rise above that situation. I remember a couple in Singapore reading my book. Then they bought a whole box of books. We don't even know these people. And they sent us 10,000 Singapore dollars for our kids' ministry. Just be in the will of God. He provides. You saw all those buildings? We didn't go into any bank and ask for a loan. Don't even know how you get loans. I don't want to know. And I'm the head accountant for the entire ministry. I just do what he tells me to do and it works. Our children all go through private education. In the college, every single girl is educated 100% free. They don't pay for their tuition or to stay there. Nothing, because most of them are daughters of widows or orphans. I could tell you about each and every person you saw on the screen there. But we don't fret. At least I don't. My husband may, but I don't. He didn't call me to worry. Because he said, cast all your anxiety upon me because I care for you. He is so faithful. I've seen God come through always. We had a situation in October where I had to pull up, means I had to bring a staff member into my office and talk to her about giving extra marks to one of the students. And when I calculated, it came to 176 marks. More for one student from June to October, which made me want to go through every student's test copies and everything, extra work. I tell people I go to bed early in the morning, 2 o'clock. But God is faithful. He's able and more than able. So I called this lady and I said, Sister, you're so strict with everyone else's work, but you've given this girl extra marks. She seemed to be like a snake in the grass, very sweet on my face. Sister, thank you for counseling me. I told her, just write a letter to say I've brought it to your attention. And I told the young lady, I said, I want you to do all your corrections. Whatever was wrong, I want you to do what anyone does when they have something marked wrong. And I said, give me your book and I'll keep it with me. You start in a fresh copy. You think the lady forgot? She became my arch enemy in a very subtle way. So much so that I landed in the local police station. She wanted me jailed. But you know what? We are not here to meditate on the lie of the enemy. I'm here to tell you, look what the Lord has done. ride above the storms of life. The police inspector called me, a Hindu. I had two Assembly of God, one Assembly of God Indian pastor fighting against me. I said not a word. Because I know his word. The truth will triumph. It's very hard to be in the mission field, let me tell you that. But it's easy when you soak yourself in the word. When the inspector called me, I said, sir, I will be there, because I didn't want a jeep load of policemen in our vicinity and everyone panicking. He'll give you the words. He's an on-time God. My husband and I had to go to the same man to get some documents signed after that. He didn't know till then that I had a foreigner for a husband. But there's something called praying in the Spirit. There's power. It's not enough just being born again. It's time to be empowered to do exploits for the kingdom of God. It's time to touch heaven and say, Jesus, teach me to pray. As I was going, I was praying in tongues. Before I could get into my car, I went to my refrigerator, got a bottle of water, cold water, because it was a hot day. And I took it to the pastor who had filed the case against me. And I said, Pastor, here's a bottle of water. You've had a long day. And I said, Jesus, don't let me be bitter. Don't let me get angry. Don't let me get upset. Don't let me fight my battle. The battle is the Lord's. I will pray for my enemies. I still pray for them. That sets me free, correct? It sets you free when you pray for your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Love on them. Go out of your way to bless them. I'm telling you from first-hand experience, it pays. It pays to be a Jesus freak in this world. It pays to turn the other cheek. It pays to walk the extra mile. Don't grumble, don't gossip, don't murmur. Don't be a turkey. Be an eagle. Be an eagle. Rise above your situation. You're going through hell on earth, but God's commanding you today to trust him. He said, let bygones be bygones. Rise up. He'll see you through. Nothing is impossible with God. The best place to be is in the center of God's perfect will. So our prayer every morning should be, Holy Spirit, today make sure that I do not step out of God's will no matter what. In my thoughts, in my words, in my deeds, keep me in the center of God's perfect will. So you have nothing to lose, absolutely nothing. Look at the book of Acts. There's no conclusion. God wants you to write the next chapter. But as you trust him, you're going to write the next chapter. The Holy Spirit, he'll come inside of you. He'll dictate. He'll tell you what to do. Walk with him one step at a time. A young man by the name of Salman Yusuf, about 10 years old, young boy, was brought to us a Muslim. Grandmother had got converted in a village about, one night's journey. Someone phoned me from there saying they're going to kill these people. Can you help to hide the boy? So they traveled all that distance into Bangalore. The boy came to me, and the group that had evangelized that family, they had bought a pair of jeans for the boy and a yellow t-shirt with the word Jesus on it. A Muslim boy wearing those clothes. I need a photograph of the boy. The grandmother's too poor. She doesn't even know where she's going to rest. She has a son and daughter who've run out of the village with her before they got burnt. And now I'm saying, Lord, I have to take his photograph, because they didn't bring any photographs, nothing. They didn't bring a stitch, just what he had on him. So I take his picture for my file, for my records. 3 months in a row, on one of the Sundays, the grandmother shows up, visits. In the fourth month, she doesn't come. The boy runs away. Panic. What's gone wrong? Salman doesn't know where his grandmother lives. He's new to Bangalore. It's 2.5 hours away by bus and 3 buses or whatever. That's what she's been telling us. She works in the market where they sort out onions and potatoes and good ones and bad ones and garlic and things like that. And that's a wholesale market. Even we don't know where the area is. We send staff and students, older students, searching all over. At the railway station, bus stops, everywhere. We can't find him. I start praying in tongues. I have to go to the police and report to the police a minor is missing in my care, from my care. I tell my brother, you got to come with me. I'm asking God, God, what's going to happen? We are going to be raided. All the children are going to be questioned. The police and the social workers from the government, everyone will draw up here. But I'm not ready to speak those words out loud. I know what will happen, so I start speaking the word of God. Speak the word of God, even though you know your situation is horrible. Speak the word of God. God, you're a waymaker, God. I give you thanks. Your eye is on the sparrow. Your eye is on Salman Yusuf right now. God, you are mindful of him. You will put your hedge of protection around him. He's the apple of your eye. I start speaking the word of God into his life. I go to the police and I tell them, because I can't take the photograph of the boy, I have to take a photograph with all the details, height, weight, hair color, eye color, everything, skin color, how long he's been there, attendance books, registers, everything we've got to take and go. And I said, sirs, I know you're very busy. One of our boys has just gone somewhere. He'll be back. He went looking for his grandmother. He'll be back. And if he's not back, I'll come back tomorrow and I'll report to you. But I'm sure I'll bring him with me tomorrow. He said, no problem, ma'am. You go. We are busy today. Tomorrow, bring him and come. Show him to us. I said, praise the Lord. Tonight, at least, I'm clear. I'm not sitting behind bars because a child is missing. That night, I'm talking to God. I'm saying, God, you know exactly where he is. Why do we have to go through all this stress? I'm available, God. I'm open. Holy Spirit, open my spiritual eyes. If I've put anything else in the way, open my spiritual eyes. Help me just see. The Lord shows me exactly where that boy is lying down. He's lying down in the hut belonging to three of our boys who were ex-students in our program, Isaac, Emmanuel and Jacob, in their home on a mat. It's just a one room, about, say, 8 feet by 8 feet room. That's their bedroom, their kitchen, their toilet, their everything. They don't have running water inside. They have pots. And the boy is sleeping not on a mat, on a gunny sack in which you have potatoes or rice or something, that sack. So early in the morning, I called one of our staff. I said, Pushpa, just take Satish with you and go to Isaac's house, and Salman is sleeping on the mat there, on the floor, bring him with you. She says, but I've heard that they've shifted. I said, they've shifted, right. Now you'd say, but Sister Teresa, didn't you know? I didn't know that. One thing at a time the Holy Spirit will tell you. He just gives you the first thing in your spirit. When you obey, he gives you the next. I said, Pushpa, all you have to do is from our organization where we are meeting, from the free school, go straight down. You'll pass a temple. You'll pass a big banyan tree. Then after about 20 minutes, you take a right turn. And on the left side, the so-and-so house, go into that lane. And in that little house, he's there. I've never even been in that area. That's a book of Acts. Ananias, there's a man by the name of Saul from Tarsus. He's blind right now, but I want you to go. He's in the house of Judas on Straight Street. He is praying. I want you to lay hands on him, and he will be able to see. Read the book of Acts. Write the next chapter with the Holy Spirit. Just obey. God wants to reveal to you the secrets of his heart, Psalm 25 and verse 14. He wants to confide in you, share with you. He wants to tell you things before they even happen on this earth. But we got to ride above our storms. We got to stop thinking of ourselves. One day I'm working in my office, and there are men, about four men, they're putting up a big, huge green pole, the transformer to our house. My office is just next door to it. We're told, now we need a separate transformer. We can't use the one that is outside. Because everywhere they'll try to cut you because they want a bribe. But I'm here to tell you as a witness, for 18 years we've not paid a penny in bribes. neither for electricity, water, phone lines, nothing. Trust in the Lord. He'll see you through. He'll give you wisdom. Let His agenda be written on the walls of your heart. While I'm busy working, all of a sudden, one man comes, and I'm saying, like, I didn't ask him to come in, but he's not speaking. He's like dumbfounded. I said, what happened? He just does this. He can't even tell me it's a cobra. Because he's speechless. He's shocked. There's almost a 5.5 foot thick, long scope cobra outside my office door where these men were working. So I said, I'll come. I closed the door from inside, went from the main entrance, this huge thing, and the men are standing there dumbfounded because to them, they can't touch it. It's their God. They worship it. So they're not going to shoo it. So I said, come on, get rid of it. Do something. No, madam. I said, just make sure it gets out. Use one of the poles you have or whatever. No, madam. They can't do anything. They're just helpless. Three of them. So I go that side. And the snake moves very fast, sometimes like lightning, sometimes it's still as ever. There are two cars, mine as well as David's. David's is there. It goes into the car. Thank God the main door is closed. It didn't get into the house. I'm hoping it'll go from under the gate, but it goes under the car. We can't find it. I'm telling David, it's not under my car. It's not in my car. It's in yours. It's nowhere else. It has to be in yours. We can't find it anywhere. There are three batteries over there, but it's not there. So there's two big pots in between our cars. We know it's not there. Now, you can't just say, forget the cobra, correct? You got to do something about it. A cobra can jump. A cobra can kill you. It's poisonous, venomous. I mean, it'll spew it all over you. We've heard of many stories of people dying with cobra bites. Now I'm telling David, that's your car. Please move it out. So I open the gate. My husband, you've seen him. He's never been near cobras in his life. I'm the one who's helped the men to kill them or whatever. So he has no choice. He jumps into his car and I'm praying, Lord, don't let my husband die. The car, he brings his vehicle out and then we open the hood of the car and there's this huge creature with his hood ready to just go for us. He's hissing as ever. We close that and I tell one of these men, I said, please, who's the driver of your vehicle? He says, I said, can you help us? Just drive this vehicle out into the open where we can get the thing going. God will give you the strategy, but it takes time. Turn to someone and say, it'll take time. It's not fast food. It's not a microwave. Amen? You have to just learn to wait. You have to pray in tongues in the meantime. We have people on the wall with big rocks. We have bamboos. We have everything. Now, one step at a time, God gives you the strategy, tells you how to handle the situation. So I'm standing there, I'm praying in tongues, and we are standing at a distance from the vehicle, of course, but this creature won't come. We know now he's in the vehicle, but he won't come out. So I turned to the guy again. I said, would you mind just getting in there and just starting the car and close the door? With the vibration and the heat, he'll come out. That's what the Lord teaches me. I didn't learn that anywhere. I'm still in the school of the Holy Spirit. After some time, we see the tail coming out from underneath. And we're happy. But then it goes back in again. So I said to this guy, okay, the next time he comes, jump in and move the vehicle. And that's what we did. That when this thing came out, we just moved that vehicle fast. And that thing stayed there ready to go for all of us. But we managed to kill it. When we kill a cobra, we also burn it. Remember, I'm teaching you something tonight. First hand. You burn it and you clean the area of the blood of the snake because you don't want its mate to come for you after that. So, who wants to be a missionary tonight? Don't you hear the call of God? Here I come, Lord. I'm ready to do your will as it is in heaven. Let it be done on this earth. God is able. Let me tell you that. I've killed about 8 cobras in my life. But there is a God right above the storm. Be the eagle. You're not alone. In 2 Chronicles 20, King Jehoshaphat, in verse 12, he said, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. I don't know what to do about your situation. No one has the answer. God has the answer. If you trust him, he'll give it to you right now. He'll drop it in your spirit. You'll know what to do. You'll say, this too shall pass away. Keep quoting the word of God. He's able and more than able, whether it's sickness, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your kids. Just trust in the Lord. He'll bring them home. You have to be positive. Speak the word of God. Many years ago, when I was a Roman Catholic nun, I got a call to say that my mother had got a stroke and she had been able to write with her left hand. Her whole right side was gone. If my daughter, who's a nun, comes and prays over me, anoints me with oil, I will be healed. My mother moved in the prophetic ever since we were kids. Even though we were Catholics, I was a sixth of nine children. I would see that, how did mom come to know that I had taken a miniskirt and gone to college today? I got out of the home in slacks. But she knew. She was so close to the Holy Spirit. She'd tell us things. She'd say, how was that movie, kid? Moms have like something in them more than what we all have put together. They just know. And we didn't even have a telephone in the house. My mom never gossiped with the neighbors. But she knew. Because she trusted in the Holy Spirit to raise her children. Just trust in the Lord. He'll see you through. So I said to my superior, okay, I'll go. I have to fly to Bombay. I've never anointed anyone with oil. Turn to someone and say, there's always a first time. Stay in the school of the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you what to do. I went into the kitchen, took the coconut oil that we cook with, and went into my mother's bedroom, anointed her with oil in obedience to what she had heard. Be done to you according to your faith. My mother was totally healed. Sitting on the bed and saying, you've come a long way. I've got to cook. Nothing is impossible with God. He's an on-time God. Get excited about what he has envisioned for you. When you feel sorry for yourself and you think, man, it's been a horrible day and, you know, the world's not being kind to me. Think about those in Iraq, in Turkey, in Egypt, in Iran, who have been imprisoned for no fault of their own. Think about our soldiers who have been kidnapped and are sitting in some jails, confined to solitary confinement. Think about the 80,000 prisoners in America's jails today. I'm talking of solitary confinement. I'm talking of 25,000, 44 states in America. I just read that today. 25,000. Prisoners in 44 states are in solitary confinement in America. Some of them may be there for no fault of their own. I'm not a judge today, but what about Albert Woodfox? For 43 years in solitary confinement, was released last year in Louisiana. There are people who are worse off than us. There are people, we say, oh, my finger hurts, or someone pinched you or whatever. Think of those who don't even have those fingers, the lepers. We look for shoes and we say, wish I had more. Might have 50 in our cupboards, in our shoe cases. Think of those who don't have feet. We feel ashamed if our nails are not done to put our hands up and worship the Lord. Think of those who worship the Lord. I saw one girl one time, she was singing to the projector in one of the churches. I forget where in my travels. And I was amazed. She had only two fingers on this hand. And she had, I think, 2 years. But she was lost in God. One Christmas, we were with the lepers. And we thought we were going to bless them. And we had lots of clothes and food and things like that for them. And it was, the hall was packed with lepers. And as the worship started, they can't even stand because they don't have feet. And they're crouched and bent. They don't have proper noses, or they don't have eyebrows or ears. Some of them are bald because of malnutrition and nerve cells being dead. And those who have stumps, praising the Lord with their stumps. I said, God, I don't want this worship to end. We were the chief guests. I don't want to be a chief guest. I want to worship you in spirit and in truth like those lepers. They don't have what it takes. They don't have hands to clap. But they're lost in you, Jesus. Tears coming out of their eyes. They're just lost in you. Give me a heart after your heartbeat. Let my pulse beat with your pulse. Let me just forget myself. Let me know your plan, your agenda, and run with it today. Get excited about the things that God has envisioned for you. Things to prosper you. Things for a future filled with hope. It's exciting. Exciting to be in the will of the Lord. Wait. Wait on the Lord. He'll show you. I'm saying to the Lord, there's a need there. There are children, abandoned children, 11 of them. There are flies all over their faces. There's no mommies. The three ladies who are in charge of them, not in our organization, in another, they're just taking care of themselves. They're not bothered about these 7 babies that are crying here. One little boy, 8-year-old, flinging a pant around him, hitting his head on the ground, no clothes on his body. Another 12-year-old doing the same thing in another corridor. Another 1-year-old crying near a heap of laundry that is not washed. 1-year-old crying with a 2-year-old. Both are crying. The laundry could be all over them. No one will even know that they're dead. A child lying down in the corner with thousands of flies on his face and body. I said, God, something has to be done. I was so angry about that organization. I went looking for a place to hide 2 of ours because they're not yet 6 years old. You saw the 2 smallest ones. And I thought, since we are supporting this organization and they have a children's ministry, maybe I could keep them then, bring them in the daytime, bring our 2 in. Their mother poured kerosene on herself and burnt herself. Father and mother had a fight. He's a drunk. He's a leper. Now, we had 1 daughter, the older one, who's in the 1st grade. And now what about the 4-year-old and 2-year-old? I'm only allowed to take them once they're 6, according to the new rule. Before, I used to take them at 6 months. So I've got to hide these. I don't want the drunk to take them and sell them. The 2-year-old and 4-year-old. So I'm trying to see if I can put them in this other place which we are funding. We're not running it. We're just supporting it. There are about 300 people picked up from 50 different police stations and dumped over there. Some mentally retarded. Some could be rapists. Thank God in the last couple of years, they've separated the men and the women in 2 different establishments. But the children are there. No one is teaching the children. No one is caring for the children. Thank God I did not take the 2 and go with me, because the founder said, please come. You can leave them with us. We'll take care of them. When I saw the situation, I wanted to call the cops immediately and call the government and say, raid this place and shut it down. But then I came home. I could not have my lunch. The memory of what I saw would not leave me. I went to my class that afternoon and I just broke down crying with the girls. I said, girls, if you saw what I saw. We were helping about 40 of their kids that are older kids, but we didn't know the situation in the daytime. Our girls would go from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, 4 to 5 girls every evening would go and help the school-going kids. But we didn't know that the non-school-going kids, the preschool kids, were in that situation. So I said, girls, can we help out? Can we do something? Now, ours is a college. I didn't wait for permission from the government. I said, we have the place. We'll bring them in from 9 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon. They can have their meals. They can have their nap time. Teach them. You saw those little ones there. 11 of them were abandoned on the streets. Just abandoned. Mother had found another boyfriend. She dumped these, left them near 1 tree or left them near 1 gutter or 1 public toilet. The police picked up the child. They come with so much baggage. God's knocking on the door of your heart today. Acts 1 and 8, it says, first in Jerusalem, in your neck of the woods, your next door neighbor, or in your own home, someone's hurting. Can you carry them, ride the storm with them? Then in Judea, then in Samaria, then to the ends of the earth. Say, God, you're speaking to me to forget myself. You have a plan and a purpose for my life. There's something I can do, God. You're calling me. Your anointing is sufficient for me. You're able and more than able. I said, God, it's not enough just working, working, working. I want to be able to reach souls. You're coming soon. Any moment you'll come. And when you look at the harvest fields, they're ripe and ready, but the laborers are few. We're very short staff. We have so much work. So pray for us. We need staff. We need anointed vessels. We're teaching full-time in the college, my husband and I, with a few others. Plus, we are overseeing the after-school program, the church, different things, helping different ministries. But we are not allowed to take missionaries from America or anywhere else because the government is very stiff. They've been watching the Christians. We had a team that was supposed to come from Arkansas last year. 10 of them, we had to cancel their trip because we just learned that we were being watched. That the seminary in front of us, the president's wife, she's from New Zealand, she came home and she told me, Teresa, they were being watched every day. The police were in and out in lay clothes or out of their campuses. What you call the FBI, we call the CBI, Central Bureau of Investigation. They were in and out of their campus. So I said to our team, you better stay back there. We won't be able to rescue you out. And they'll abort all our work too. So just pray for us. But if God's calling you to do something in your neck of the woods, just be obedient. Then he'll protect you. If he's calling you to Haiti or Mexico or wherever, he'll protect you. If he wants you there, say, your will be done. Be faithful. He's able and more than able. We are seeing our ministry just flourishing. Why? Because we are still in the school of the Holy Spirit. Do what he's telling you to do. There's someone in need, just bless them. Someone hurting, help them. Reach out. What do you have? Moses, what do you have in your hand? I have a staff. Moses' staff went and ate up all the other snakes. Greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. There's an anointing on your life, and money cannot buy that anointing. What you have is so special. You're a masterpiece. You're one of a kind. You need to ride above the storms. Forget yourself, your situation, and do what he's called you to do. There's work for you to do. Jesus is coming back any moment. Any moment. Maybe I may not even reach back into India. I want to be faithful. He could come right now. The thief hanging on the cross didn't even have chance to go back and make it right. This day you will be with me in paradise. Like lightning that's seen in the east is seen in the west at the same time. Get ready. He's going to ask us one question. Did you do what I placed you on the earth to do? How will you know what he's placed you on this earth to do? Wait. Remain in him. I said, Lord, we have people coming to us for an after-school program. We've not been able to reach their parents because some of them are drunks. Most of them are uneducated. Some of them give us only their thumb impression for signatures. They don't know how to read or write. Now their children are learning to read and write because of our programs. We have students who have got state-level records, distinctions. They used to pick up garbage on the streets. Do what he's calling you to do. I said, Lord, I finished listening to the Bible from January 1st to April 25th. I'm leaving on the 27th. I want to finish before I leave the whole Bible. When I finished on the 25th, I said, Lord, what do I do next? I felt in my spirit, now you listen to it in Hindi. I don't know a single verse in Hindi to date. I can speak Hindi, but I don't know any scripture verses. I've started listening to the New Testament in Hindi. Why? Because there are Hindi-speaking people that I don't have anyone to reach to. He'll give you the strategy. Get excited about the call of God on your life. There's more to do than just doing your household chores or just a 9-to-5 job. There's much, much more. And you'll be able to do it because you're moving in the Spirit. You're yearning from the Spirit. Remember Noah. When God called Noah, everyone must have laughed at him, mocked him, made fun of him. But God gave him the strategy, the blueprint, and it says that Noah did everything the Lord commanded him to do. In Genesis 6 and 20, God told him what to get, seven pairs of animals, or six pairs of clean and one unclean. Can you imagine getting the wild elephant and the eagle? In Sri Lanka, when I was traveling there as an underground missionary, went in as an educationist, I was so excited because, of course, first I got in there as a tourist. Somewhere else I said educationist because I'm not lying. I'm also touring. I'm going to evangelize. I'm seeing the land for the first time. There are landmines everywhere. And then I said to the gang with me, because everywhere you go, you change your clothes. You don't wear the same clothes again. In the night, the first thing I gave was a nice hotel address so that I did go to that hotel, took a taxi, went to the hotel. Got out of there in 3 hours' time, moved away somewhere else, went to another resort closer to where we were going to go. We were going to reach out to 90 terrorists, underground terrorists. Jesus said, this gospel will be preached to the ends of the earth and then the end will come. Landmines everywhere. And I said to the team when we were going at about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I said, hey, there's a big elephant there. I want to take a picture. They said, no. When you see one elephant, it's a wild elephant. It's a rogue elephant. How did Noah get those elephants? It says in Genesis 7, verses 9 and verse 15, they came to him. When God's calling you to do something, he'll make it happen if your heart is right with him. He'll bring it to pass. He'll make sure that you're helped. When we started the free school for street kids and garbage pickers, we had 150 children. We didn't have drinking water for them because I wouldn't pay the bribe that they were asking me for the connection. So I spoke to my neighbor. I said, I didn't know that. Because we had just come in from America, my husband and I. The same week we got married at Burlington Assembly of God, we went as missionaries to India. 30,000 rupees just to start, that's bribe. You don't get receipts for it. So I said, I'm not going to pay any bribes. I'm just going to trust the Lord. He's going to see us through. 150 children, no drinking water. We have one little well. Of course, we had a cobra sitting on that too. And so my next-door neighbor, she said, Teresa, don't worry. I have the drinking water. You can take as much as you want. Just tell the lady who's in charge, the cook, to come and take any time you want. For 7 years, my next-door neighbor, a Hindu woman, Ranjani Sridhar, and her husband Sridhar, gave us drinking water for 150 children for 7 years. God is able. Nothing is impossible with God. You just have to believe. Just move in the Spirit. He keeps making it happen. We started the children's home. Everything is going well. God didn't tell us to build for ourselves. We lived under an asbestos that had 7 holes. But every year that we've been there, 18 years, through the Assembly of God directors, general superintendent or superintendent in the team, we put the money in, we helped to build a church. In the 9th year, when we were putting up the children's home, we were on the highway in Baton Rouge going for our board meeting because we established in Baton Rouge. My husband was from that area. And I felt in my spirit, Dino Rizzo will fund this next building. Dino Rizzo is a chairperson. He's a Healing Church pastor, senior pastor. We have 12 board of directors here in America. And my husband didn't say yay or nay when I told him that Dino Rizzo will fund the building. We went for the meeting. At the end of the board meeting, we didn't even mention that we are putting up another building and it's for our children, nothing, because everything else is going on. Dino looks at us with tears in his eyes. He says, hey, David and Teresa, don't worry about that children's home building, man. We'll help you fund it. $90,000 came in one go to finish off the work on the building. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is hear what the Spirit is saying and run with it. He'll help you. He's with you. He's not against you. He wants you to do God's will on this earth as it is written in heaven. A couple heard us minister in Singapore 1 year, and it was just a small gathering. An evangelist who knew David invited us. When we finished preaching, we didn't talk about anything to do with ministry. The couple were coming to India on business some months later, and they said to their pastor, can we go and see Teresa and David? He said, yeah, go and check their work out also. You know, they're doing good work. This couple didn't know anything about us. They came and stayed in a 5-star hotel in Bangalore on business, and they called us. I had high fever. I said to my husband, can you go and pick them up, take them, show them what you're doing in the children's home? They went back to Singapore, and they emailed us, and they wanted to know how much it cost us to run the whole place, the whole children's home. That means the education, staff, meals, everything. So we just sent them the audited reports, accounts. We got all that back in Singapore dollars. Can you trust Jesus? Let's close our eyes. He's real. He's knocking on the door of your heart. Can you take that step in faith and say, I'm going to be an eagle Christian. I'm not going to be a turkey. I'm going to hide when the storms come. I'm going to ride above the currents of the storm. Let them come. My God is able. My eyes are on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. I have faith to believe with Jesus that he lives forever to intercede for me right now. Nothing is impossible with God. You know, you chose the appropriate songs for today. God bless you. Let's all stand and worship Jesus. I want you to come up to these altars if the Lord is leading you. No pressure on anyone. Just come up. There's something about coming to the altars, even as a whole church, and just standing and interceding for someone else that God is laying on your heart. Just look into the eyes of Jesus. Say, God, you've been pulling at my spirit, the strings of my soul. I want to respond.